Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a great God. We thank you, Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, as I just share this few thoughts, this talk, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will work through me and in the lives of the people who hear me. Amen. May I introduce you to a hero? About 480 years before the birth of Jesus, in a city called Susa, which is now in Iran, which was one of the main cities belonging at that time to the Medes and the Persians, which was a kingdom that stretched all the way from India right to Ethiopia, most of the then known world. The hero is Esther, a Jew. She was an orphan, and she became the queen of Persia. But she did not let anybody know that she was a Jew. That was because of a man called Mordecai, or Mordecai, as some people say. And he was Esther's cousin, but he brought Esther up like his own daughter, because, as I say, Esther was an orphan and her mum and dad had both died. There was a wicked man called Haman in this story. If this was a pantomime, you might hiss and boo at this point. I don't encourage you to do that. But. This wicked man tricked the king, Xerxes, and he got him to bring in a new law that allowed all of the Jews to be killed throughout the whole kingdom. He did this partly out of spite, because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. He wouldn't take any notice of him, actually. That was because I believe Mordecai had in his mind to worship God rather than to worship man. Anyway, this horrible plot, Mordecai used to go up and down outside the palace, and he sent a message to plead with Esther, the queen, to go to the king and to ask for mercy for the Jews. The problem, the difficulty, the challenge was that you couldn't just go in and see the king. He had loads of security. Obviously, because he was the king, the ultimate emperor of a huge country, he needed to have people in place so that if somebody drifted into the palace, that there was a law in place that said that those people could lawfully be killed. But it applied to everybody. So the problem for Esther was to go in and make sure that she wasn't going to be killed. There was a way out, and that was if the king stretched out his scepter and welcomed her. Let me just tell you, we'll just leave the story of Esther there for a moment, and let me just tell you, I was privileged. A great privilege to have been born into a Christian home and to have parents who love the Lord and walk with God. My dad's died, but my mum's still approaching 90 and still not very often walking physically, but walking with God. Wow. my granddad, perhaps another hero, was a Baptist minister, and he took a great interest in all of our lives. When I say all, I mean me and my brother and my sister. I remember now, after a little search in my memory banks, that he used to ask me about all sorts of things, but it always came to something about God. He'd ask me something about God. And when I started to prepare what I was going to say, I thought about my granddad. And one day he asked me what book I was reading in the Bible. And I said, Esther. Granddad said, and you'll have to forgive this bit, because my granddad would have learned his memory verses from the King James Version of the Bible. I don't think they had a New International Version when my granddad learned his scriptures, but he said in his big, strong voice, he could, when he was a minister, he could talk without a microphone to a building four times this size, and he'd reach the back wall. And he said, and who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? That was without any thought, or he didn't need to know in advance that I was going to tell him Esther in answer to his question. He just wanted to convey to me something from Esther. The more modern version, the NIV, says, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. He explained that that didn't just mean for Esther, it meant for all of us. Who knows whether you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Back to the story about Esther for a moment. When Esther found out about this plot, she communicated with Mordecai. She couldn't go out because she was in the harem, in the palace, and she couldn't allow people in because it was the harem. But she sent messengers. And she sent a message to Mordecai to gather all the Jews in Susa and fast together for 3 days. After that, Esther would go to the king and risk the death penalty. She said, when she was going backwards and forwards, talking to Mordecai, she said in Esther 14, 4, in Esther 4, verse 16, she says, and if I perish, I perish. She was courageous. She was self-sacrificing. She was willing to pay a price, her own life. As it turned out, she didn't need to, but she was willing to do so for the rescue of her people. This declaration of courage really touches me. I've not been called, as far as I know, to risk death. Who knows what the future holds? But I have fasted when I needed to see certain situations with more clarity and to search out more understanding of God's viewpoint on what I was talking to him about. And to quiet the rest of my earthly body so that my spiritual life could be enlightened. Also, I make a comparison with 1 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. I've tried to follow this instruction. I won't pretend I know the presidents of a lot of countries, but when I have a country laid on my heart, then I look to make sure I find out something about that country and that leadership, and pray to God to guide the people who are in charge of the nations. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Esther, going back to the story of Esther, she goes in to see the king. He extends the scepter, the golden scepter, that indicates to his security people, it's okay. I'm fine with this person coming to see me. And Esther touches the top of the scepter in recognition of the king's beckoning. And this I find quite extraordinary. I compare King Xerxes lifting out his scepter to accept somebody into his palace with the King of Glory reaching out with his scepter and saying, you're welcome to come and talk to me. You are safe to come and talk to me. It is joyful that you want to come and talk to me. And to come into the presence of God, our eternal Father, to come into the Creator of the universe is a wonderful privilege. But also, He wants us to do that. He wants us to talk to Him. After two banquets that Esther lays on for the king and the wicked man Haman, then we come to the place where Esther tells the king about the plot to destroy the Jews. And for the first time, the king finds out that Esther is a Jew. Several things happen, but the upshot of it all is that the wicked man was executed. The Jews are given permission to defend themselves against this this law that's been passed to say that the Jews have got to die. There was another problem, and that was the laws of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. Well, after a law has been passed, that's it. It's on the statute book. So they had to find a way where without rescinding the previous rule, the Jews could be saved. And so the permission was granted and distributed to the whole of the kingdom to say that the Jews were allowed to defend themselves and, if necessary, to advance on their enemies. Historians say that at that time, about 1 million Jews lived in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. I know we talk about millions a lot. I just had a quick look at a few statistics. And I found out that the population of Thurrock is about 200,000, a little bit under, but to use a nice round figure. So five times the population of Thurrock was the number of Jews living in the land, in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. You might prefer to think of 10 times the stadium of Wembley being full to capacity. Huge, huge numbers were saved by the wisdom, by the grace, by the strength of character, and by the courage of this lady Esther. Along with the Song of Solomon, the Book of Esther does not mention God. However, the lack of mention of God in no way does that mean that God was not there. It definitely doesn't mean that the hand of God wasn't in everything that happened. I've left out huge chunks of Esther so we can go home for lunch. But there's such a depth. You could see lots and lots of occasions where, in the story of Esther, God intervenes. One very marked one that I can think of straight away is when the king couldn't sleep, and the books of the Chronicles were brought out for him. Whether that was to send him back to sleep or not, I don't know, but the books of the Chronicles were read to him, and he realized that Mordecai had told through Esther that there was a plot, an individual plot by two men to kill the king. That didn't happen because Esther intervened, because Mordecai intervened, and that was dealt with. But then the king wanted to honour Mordecai, and that aggravated the wicked man Haman even more. But this, I draw strength from the fact that even though there's a sense in which God is not mentioned, but the invisible God is there. Back to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. In the same way as Esther doesn't mention God, there might be times in our lives when we don't see God. There might be times in our lives when we feel like we've prayed and we feel like we haven't been heard. There might be times when we feel far from God. I love this part. The king in the story of Esther ruled over most of the known world. I take great encouragement that although in this story God is not mentioned, he created all of the kingdom that Xerxes ruled over. He created the whole of the world that his kingdom existed in, and he created the whole universe, which is beyond my comprehension. And the Bible says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Just some verses. Esther found favour. She found favour with the king. She found favour with the people who looked after her in the harem. She found favour with the king and with virtually all the people that she met. And this gracious young woman who had been taught by Mordecai that part of her having found favour is found in Esther chapter 2, verse 17. And there's such a time as this. I think I've already said this, but just for the sake. Esther 4, verse 14. For such a time as this. I've also said that she declared a fast. And she said, if I perish, I perish. That's in Esther chapter 4, verse 18. Both of those things are in that verse. And the verse I've just quoted, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And that's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. There's a song that we used to sing at TCF. And the chorus goes like this. For such a time as this, we've been commissioned. We are in an invincible army in the service of our Lord. For such a time as this, we have been found faithful, willing, able servants of our God. Thank you.